So today we begin a new sermon series here at Incarnation that focuses on finding our identity in Christ. Today I want to outline what we're going to cover over the next 4 or 5 weeks, but mainly I want to talk about how we typically think of identity and how a Christian understanding of identity differs from this. So what do you think of when you think of the word identity? You know, I usually think of the answers to a couple of these different questions, like who am I, what is my purpose, what defines me as a person? You know, in our society, we typically think of our identity as kind of wrapped up in the decisions that we make. Identity is something that we do and achieve. So think about this. What is one of the first questions you get asked when you meet somebody? Well, if you're a student, it's what's your major? If you're not a student, it's usually what's your job? What do you do for a living? And then after that, maybe it gets into small talk and you ask about favorite TV shows or music. But in many ways, we define ourselves by the decisions that we make. Work, friends, leisure activities. Now, this was not always the case. Some of the questions that we ask today, like who am I, what's the meaning of life, what's my identity, they were simply not asked by people hundreds of years ago. Hundreds of years ago, there were a lot more givens in life. You had a family, you had a community that you couldn't really leave. You probably had no choice of a job, or maybe you had a choice between, you know, farmer and warrior. But that was about it. So identity was not really found in what you chose, but really how you lived your life. So 500 years ago, people weren't really anxious about the meaning of life. If you asked them, you know, what's your biggest worry? Does my life have any meaning? They wouldn't really understand that. They would probably ask, you know, am I going to heaven or hell? That's a question of having a lot of meaning in life. But this, of course, begins to change a couple hundred years ago. And human beings begin to see themselves first as individuals who kind of start with a free slate and create their identity through the choices that they make. Our meaning is kind of found inside with the decisions that we make, not outside. We can choose our job, but we can also choose the community we're a part of. We can leave if we don't like the community we're at. We earn money, which allows us to choose between types of food, clothing, housing, music. And with each of these, we're seemingly given a limitless ability to choose. So we can see kind of the history of our society as one of trying to expand our freedoms. We want more and more choices over every single aspect of our life. Now, some of this is good, right? You know, when my dad turned 18, his choices were, his dad said, you could work for me in the sawmill, and his mom said, I got a job for you at the coal mine. You know, I'm glad that I have more choices than that with the work I have to do. But the downside to this is that our identity can become wrapped up in our decisions. Our life becomes defined by the collection of choices we make. And with this comes a whole host of different problems. What I want to do is share, I think, three of the main problems that we deal with as a result of thinking of identity this way. And we're going to spend the next couple of weeks talking about how finding our identity in Christ really is able to address these issues. So the first issue that comes up is that life can become anxious. You know, the more freedom we have to make choices, the greater our anxiety. Because as soon as you make one decision, you immediately start thinking about all the other decisions that you couldn't make. You know, I think probably the most famous poem over the last century is probably Robert Frost's The Road Not Taken. Right? Two paths diverge in a yellow wood. You know, sorry was I that I could not take both. This idea that once we choose one thing down a path, we have to think about, anxious about all these other things that we could have done. This anxiety comes up in just about every aspect of life. You know, for me, senior year of college, I had a complete meltdown because I had to choose what job to do. And I apologize to seniors freaking out about that right now. You know, if I choose this job, I can't choose these other four or five jobs. And what happens if I choose the wrong job? My life is, it's going to go off the wrong path. You know, I went nocturnal for a period of time. I like didn't sleep. I would fall asleep at like 7 or 8 in the morning because I was so worried about this. But we see this in other areas of life. You know, we have this thing called the midlife crisis, where some 40-something guy thinks about, you know, the woman he could have been with. And so he walks out on his family because he's wondering about that road not taken. Now we have this thing called quarter-life crisis, which sounds ridiculous to me. But there are these crises because what am I supposed to do? See, when we're flooded with all these decisions to make, in many ways it just creates more anxiety. So that's the first thing. The second problem with thinking of our identity as kind of wrapped up in our choices is that life can actually become weirdly more controlling. You see, if our identity is wrapped up in the choices that we make, then we're going to be somewhat controlled by the people who give us our choices. You know, if you've all seen The Wizard of Oz, right, there's the man behind the curtain, right? Dorothy thinks she's making all of these decisions herself, and she's in this world, and she finds out there's some guy behind a curtain pulling all the levers. You see, what happens is, if our identity is wrapped up in these different decisions, other people have power over us, because they can control the kind of decisions that we can make. Think about this in something kind of small. Think about fashion for a little bit. I'm not really an expert on fashion, you could probably tell, but you know, clothing is a way in which we distinguish ourselves in our society. I used to hear these horror stories that our school was thinking about adopting school uniforms. Because that's going to take away my expression, my identity. Clothing is able to kind of signal to people, you know, whether we're cool or beautiful or artistic or edgy, all these different things. But what's the problem with this? We have our choice from the different wardrobes that we can make, but who's behind the curtains? It's a bunch of guys in suits at the Gap or Banana Republic, right? They're having meetings right now deciding on what they're going to tell you cool is. So the weird thing is we all kind of feel like we're being individuals and expressive while we're all wearing clothes from like the same three companies. Essentially, if we define ourselves by the choices that we make, those guys in suits have a kind of power over us. You know, if you want career success, you're going to be beholden to the people who are in charge of your promotions. If you want to change the world, politicians are going to have a control over your life. If your identity is even in something as simple as television, then the folks in Hollywood have a kind of power over you. So in this weird way, if we think of our identity in this kind of choices, in a weird way, we can wind up having less freedom. So that's the kind of second problem with identity. The third is this, that life can become meaningless. If the goal of life is to make our identity through the choices that we make, what's going to happen in the end? Well, first of all, we might not be able to get all of the things that we want in life. There are going to be some things that we want desperately and we want to choose to do, but are going to be denied us. So think about what happens when a boyfriend or girlfriend breaks up with somebody, or a class has failed. It feels like the world is falling apart, that life becomes meaningless. Or think about when we deal with suffering. We're going to spend a week talking about suffering. When we suffer in our body, we lose the ability to do things. Our choices become limited. And so we feel like life has no meaning. Look at the way our culture treats the elderly And you'll see this more than anything else. That we treat people who have less ability to choose, we treat them like second or third class citizens. So if our identity is wrapped up in these things, if we're denied those choices, our world can fall apart. But actually, the opposite thing can also happen. What can also happen is we can get everything that we want in life and still wind up feeling empty. Think about, you know, Christmas morning. I was a very shrewd little boy. I had a very tight Christmas list for Santa. Right? I trimmed off all the fat. I wanted to be sure that I got every single gift on my Christmas list, right? So, you know, you got to go through several drafts of the Christmas list and kind of get it ready. And so some Christmases, I got everything on that list. I won. But what happens a couple hours later? We all know this, right? You're just like, oh, is that it? I've already unwrapped all of my toys, right? And then you're just left saying, oh, what's going to happen the next day? The weird thing is that you're going to find in life that if your identity is wrapped up in these things, you're going to feel that same thing. With all the things that you want in life, that same kind of empty feeling the next day. A lot of you know this, so I went to college with now Princess Meghan Markle. So she was one of my best friend's roommates in our dorm. And so, you know her a little bit. Like, if you know, like, one of your best friend's roommates, you kind of say hi to them and kind of chit-chat. And even back then, you know, one of the things that we would use to describe Meghan, she's a, you know, pretty nice person. We'd say she is somebody who gets what she wants. So, you know, she goes to the basketball game and she's just like, she sees the star basketball player and she's like, I'm going to date him. And so, like, 2 weeks later, she's dating him. So this is somebody who, you know, it's sad because I read these headlines, and she's somebody who's, we could say, it's kind of got everything that she's wanted, right? She's a freaking princess. But then you read these stories about how difficult their life is. You just think, wow, they seem actually kind of more unhappy. You know, for us today, you know, what's that one thing that you daydream about accomplishing? You know, I think we all have, you know, we think about something in the future that we want. You know, instead of thinking about getting that thing, that moment where you achieve it, think about the day after you get that thing. Because oftentimes it's just going to be another day. And so if our life is kind of wrapped up in these things, of choosing and achieving these things, we're going to end up with a kind of hollow emptiness. Now, the good news, though, is that there's a way out of this. And so I apologize if week one of our sermon series is a bit of a downer. The good news is that God actually comes and rescues us within our challenges. And we're going to talk about, over the next couple of weeks, what it means to put our identity not in ourselves and the choices that we make, but what does it actually mean to put our identity in Christ? That our identity is not found in here, but it's when we reach out to Jesus and follow him. So just to kind of preview this, our second reading today from the book of Galatians, Paul talks about this in a number of different ways. First, he says, you know, for those of us who are baptized in Christ, we are kind of clothed in him. So Paul says, we find our true identity when we are baptized in Christ. He says that we, in a sense, kind of put on Jesus. You know, if you think of baptism like a warm bath, you know, these days you get really, really cold. Nothing really will heat you up except like a warm bath. And the water just covers over you and it kind of heats you up from the inside. Paul says that we find our true identity actually in putting on Jesus in this way. That Jesus kind of covers us up and changes us from the inside out. And then he says we get this ability then to cry out, Abba, Father. He says we get this ability when we make our identity in Christ, we get to be called children of God. you know, think about children, right? You know what children do? Primarily they play and they grow. You know, Francis, our little baby, you know, we don't say, you know, on our 4-month birthday, all right, you've got to really pick a health insurance policy, Francis. Let me line up the options. Let's take you over to Blue Cross Blue Shield and we'll get this together. No. You know, the parents, all of the big things that are necessary for her life, we take care of those things. We say she's secure with us. And so her biggest decisions are like, do I play with the little tiny giraffe or the little tiny elephant? Nowadays she kind of beats them together. But, you know, a child, right, has these things secure and they can play and they get older and bigger. To be called a child of God means that we're saying God's got our identity already figured out. Nothing we do defines us except the fact that we are created by God and we're his child. And so the things we can do is we can delight in the world he's given us, but then also we can grow up. And for Christians, we grow up by following Jesus. This incredible event that God became one of us. So if we want to know how to grow up, we just look to what Jesus has done and we follow him. And we grow into our true identity. So the next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about all of the different things that Jesus did in his life. Jesus had a body, he had a mind, he suffered, he had friends, he was glorified. And we're going to talk about how we look to what Jesus has done. And by following him, we're going to live into our true identity as children of God. So my hope is you're going to join us over the next couple of weeks. And my hope is that as we discover together finding our true identity in Christ, that we'll be people that have a little less anxiety and a little more peace, that we'll feel a little less controlled by the world and a little more free in Christ, and our lives will be profoundly and deeply more meaningful as we love and serve our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.